Yeah, what is going on, New York? Welcome back to another glorious episode of
Nick Snatimus.
And a very special episode indeed. Episode number
100.
Woo! 100.
We made a buck.
Okay. So before this episode starts, me and Stevie just want to give, as we always do, honestly, but this one is very special. I just want to give a huge shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family, everybody who supports us and rocks with us. We made it to 100 episodes, y'all. We got pins. We got, I like to call it the endorsement deal. Shout out to Sunil Draws. Remember, code, Knicks Anon for 20% off your purchase. Link down below. A lot has happened for us from episode 1 to 100, Stevie. So I'm gonna shoot a question to you, man. What do you think is, what was your favorite part about this process up from episode 1 to 100?
Oh man, same thing as what's going on with the Knicks, the development. We started off kind of raw. We just started getting better as time went on.
Yeah, I agree. When it comes down to production, we didn't even have video. It was just a picture. It was a black screen with our logo on it on YouTube. You could find that. It's there. Listen, YouTube, go all the way down. You'll see the difference between then and now. We got the nice backgrounds going. You know, audio. We got the things moving on the YouTube and stuff. You know. So things are going on, you know, and you know what, Stevie?
I just gotta hook my background up.
That's fine. Look, we're gonna get there. Look
at this. Batman's not doing it. I like Batman. I like Batman, but Batman's not doing it.
Listen.
Puerto Rico rocks, and of course, Knicks Anonymous rocks, but Batman's not doing it for me.
Okay, so you know what? Look, it's always subjected to change, and
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually have an idea. My background's gonna be a little different sometime soon. I'm surprised you watch.
I told you, I got that Knicks poster, bro.
Yeah, you'll see.
Oh, okay. See, look at you. Listen, Knicks Anonymous family, stay tuned. I don't know what he's plotting right now. We're going to be surprised the same day he decides to pull it out. So, I am a man of my word. I did say I was going to pop a bottle. Unfortunately, I do not have a fresh bottle to pop. But what I do have is this lovely bottle of Bacardi tequila. And Stevie, because you don't have a shot, and because Knicks Anonymous,
unfortunately. Actually, you know what? I do have a beer.
So go ahead. I'm gonna stall.
Wait a minute.
I know Knicks Anonymous family would like to see us drunk for the 100 episode. I don't know if I'm gonna get drunk, but I am gonna pull up. You already know how we do. Bacardi, yo, down in the comments, let me know what y'all think. Y'all like light liquor, dark liquor? What y'all fucking with this summer? Oop, and I definitely curse. But you know what? I'm going to let it rock because it's the 100 episode. We've been here since day one.
You know it's big. I don't drink.
It is big.
I don't drink. I got...
What you got there? Stella? Oof. Classy. Put the pinky up, Stevie.
This is barbecue beer.
Put the pinky... Oh, speaking of barbecue, hold on. We're going to get to that. But, yo, Stevie. Cheers, my man. Here, here to 100 episodes. Here, here to the Knicks Anonymous family and everybody who supports us and loves us. We love you guys. We are the people's voice, Stevie.
And we damn sure ain't nothing without y'all, the people.
Without y'all, the beautiful people. So, wait, I'm going to wait for Stevie to get his shit open before I drink this.
Yep, there you go.
There you go. Salute.
Let's do this.
Oh, breakfast of chance, baby. Oh, I wish we could be celebrating on a better occasion.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We lost.
We did lose, but hold on.
I kind of got hyped about 100 episodes. I totally forgot we lost. You're right.
Oh, my God.
Buddy?
I'm chilling. You're right. I'm chilling. That shit just... Oh.
Woo! Because of that, I'll take another big sip just for you, just to catch up.
That was a big shot. Took it like a champ. Woof. I got like my soul's arising from my body. It's getting hot in here.
You know what? While you recover from that, I might as well get into the social media aspect of things. Follow us at Knicks Anonymous on Instagram and on Twitter. But it's spelled KNICKZ Anonymous on Twitter. No, unfortunately, we got hacked before.
Okay, you know what?
Haters,
okay.
Whoever you... That happened, too. Since we're on the 100th episode, I guess we're going to reminisce about a few things. We got on Twitter and got hacked.
We must have been saying something, right?
You know, yeah. Wow, see? Now you took it there. I didn't want to go there, but yeah.
Conspiracy theories. Here we go. We got haters, Stevie.
Follow us on TikTok as well, Knicks Anonymous. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, and Breaker.
Yes, sir. And if that was not enough for you, as always, it is down in the little widgets down below. It's scrolling on the YouTube. And if that's not enough for you, you go down to the description below and find all the links you need. Like I said before, shout out to Sunil Draws. We got a code NICKSANON. Get 20% off your purchase. He has some dope Nick gear. I don't have it on with me right now. I had to do laundry. Done the laundry right now. But
I pick up the Nightcrawler joint. This is the hat I'm going to wear with it. Unfortunately, I don't have a Nick hat that color, but I have a Yankee hat. So that's close enough.
Close enough. That's a dope hat, by the way. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. It was Sunday. I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day. Shout out to all the mothers out there. We love you. Shout out to Knicks Anonymous. To Mama Anonymous. Sorry. The liquor's already hitting me, Stevie. It's over.
That's all right. There's two Mama Anonymous. Yours and mine's. So... your mom would be my on anonymous, and my mom would be your on anonymous.
That's great. One big happy family, Steve-O.
Yes, sir.
How was the barbecue? How was it?
Pretty good, man. My rice and beans were a hit. My pop's ribs were a hit. And we had a hot sauce contest.
Nice. Who won?
We all lost because the hot sauce was very, very hot.
Yo, that's a good one. That's mad funny. Well, okay, so at least it was like a tie, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
definitely better to say than the New York Knicks. Oh, dude. Okay, let's just get down to it, all right? If you're a Knicks fan, you already know what the fuck going on. The New York Knicks have been bounced from the playoffs. Jimmy Buckets was able to come in. Jimmy Buckets and the let me not exclude the Miami Heat, because the Miami Heat are an excellent team. It got to a point where I really had to question, are we just that bad or are they just that good? You know what I mean?
In all honesty, bro, we got outcoached. I hate to put it out there, because that's kind of putting Tom Thibodeau on blast. But excuse me, we got outcoached.
And I think you're absolutely correct, Stevie. So, before we even actually get into the game, the actual analysis of the game, right? Well, we only lost by 4.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad loss. You know what I mean? Just, you know what's crazy? I'm a half. There's a lot of negative Knicks fans out there. We're gonna get into that later.
Twitter's back, baby. Twitter's on a rampage.
But I'm just going to speak on my behalf. You know, despite how things went, I'm a glass half full person, not a glass half empty person when it comes to the Knicks, at least this year. Because despite how bad, because I'm not going to say we played good or bad, but we didn't play our best basketball. And despite that, we still had a chance to win the game. So, you know, I give kudos for that. The Knicks didn't quit.
And possibly the series. I mean, I think the Knicks had a great chance to win that series. You know, it's just they didn't, you know, not everybody was all in. You know what I mean? There was a couple guys missing, injuries.
Some guys weren't all in at all times, you know.
Yeah, it's
I don't know if they, a lot of people say he checked out. A lot of people say he wasn't focused. We'll get into that later, too.
And for... you already know who he's talking about. He's talking about Julius Randle.
You know, doesn't take a genius.
Yeah, he's talking about Julius Randle.
He already know.
Yeah, he already know. Yeah, but I think it's good to note what Stevie just said. The Knicks weren't really playing their best basketball, and yet we damn near swept the Cavs, who have a potential to be better than us. I mean, I think their talent, like with their talent and their roster, and you know, I feel like they have the potential to be better than us.
They and, have all NBA defenders on their team. You know what I mean? I'm actually surprised we beat them 4-1. I thought it would have went 6 or 7. Honestly,
we were actually the underdogs in that series. We were the underdogs the whole playoffs, honestly. And you know, we completely outperformed in that series, and we weren't even playing our best basketball that series. There were a lot of mistakes. There were a lot of times the Cavs could have came back and won, but you know, the Knicks were just able to kind of scrap their way through and win. And they weren't, if the Knicks were their regular season, because think about it, the Celtics beat the Sixers. If the Knicks would have been their regular season selves all the way through, I think we see ourselves in the finals this year, Stevie. We own Boston. You know what I mean? We didn't want to play Embiid. We didn't want to play the Sixers because we thought they were going to be too much.
Hypothetically speaking, you said if we won, we would have beat the Celtics?
I think we would have beat the Celtics.
I could agree. I'm not going to definitely agree. Because, bro, I can't lie. Tatum picked it up, especially in Game 7. That 51, bro, I don't know if you watched.
No. I definitely saw. It was pretty
impressive.
But for some, I don't know what it is about the Knicks and Boston. We just have their number.
They, I'm 60-40 on that. But 60 that we win. But the 40, it's more because, like, Boston shows up.
Let me put it like this. It was the Knicks. Everything was best case scenario. The Bucks lost. The Sixers lost. The teams that we could actually beat.
That's a fact. Were the
teams that made it. So we had
a good chance to make a miraculous run. The possibility would have been there had we pulled off the second round victory.
Yes.
I feel you. I could agree with that.
But as bad... Okay. With all losses, there's only lessons, right? And I think everybody knows the main thing we're missing in our repertoire. Stevie, do you care to enlighten these lovely people what that might be?
I hope we're on the same page when I say it, but shooting.
Absolutely.
Shooting, damn you, shooting.
If I have to see another zone in the playoffs, I might just lose it. I mean, dude, the zone completely, and that goes back to the coaching with Tom Thibodeau. So here's how I think Tom Thibodeau coaches, right? Now, granted, he has gotten way better with his decision making and rotations. And if you can't agree to that, you're just a hater, because he has made improvements.
That's the problem. But
not consistent. Yes.
Yeah. But that's the issue, is the consistency of it. But the improvement is there, so I can agree to that as well.
Yes, change is there, especially with the 9-man rotation thing, because that was the greatest thing since sliced bread when it happened. Okay, so Tibbs comes in with a game plan. He has a set game plan ready. Once that game plan doesn't work, now it's free for all. You know what I mean? Now it's like, damn, what now?
You know what's crazy? I don't want to agree to that, but I can kind of see that.
You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying, right?
It's like, all right, things ain't working, y'all. Like, go ahead.
Yeah, do what you got to do. Go into the ISO. Fall into the ISO.
I doubt it. I kind of doubt it, because Tom Thibodeau is he's a creature of habit and is a real disciplined kind of coach. He's real old school. I kind of doubt it, but I can see why you would think that. is what the problem is. You know what I mean?
Dude, Derek, because look at the games from... The games that we won and the games that we lost. The fact that we won games is evident that he had a plan that worked. But what happened is Spoelstra comes back with another plan and another plan and another plan.
You know what's weird? I think he's underrated as a coach, Eric Spoelstra.
I think he is as well.
I think he's a real good coach. I didn't think so at first, because I was one of them dudes that he only won the rings because of LeBron, this and that. Nah, his coaching had a lot to do with it. He's a real good coach.
Think about what he's doing with the development. His team
exactly.
Is,
that's what I'm
his,
saying. Like,
his
good.
Team is full of undrafted players and like late first round, early second round picks. You know what I mean?
Again, and, including Jimmy.
Including Jimmy.
Including Jimmy. Again. You know,
and I don't want to use that as an excuse because even though these guys were undrafted, these guys have also been in the league for 9+ years. Everybody on that team is a veteran.
You know what's weird though? I still think we had the better team than they did. Especially without Tyler Hero and all the deep ball playing. We should have beat them. We had the better team than they did. It's just that the coaching just worked to perfection. Jimmy Butler made plays when it was time to make plays, and guys, their zone killed us, and they hit threes at real crucial times.
Well, okay, so let's talk about it. I think the main reason why we lost is not only because of the coaching, but the obvious play of certain players, and it is our job to call said players out. Okay, so let's talk about it. First of all, our perimeter defense. Our defense wasn't bad because if you look at the stats, they weren't shooting that well overall. Yeah, they just hit the shots that were needed. You know what I mean?
As I said, the crucial shots.
Yeah, they just hit the shots that were needed. So it's not so much the perimeter defense or our defense in general. Maybe our paint defense a little bit because there were times where they dominated us in the paint.
Yeah, so, Mitch had a few, like, I think Mitch lost control a few times. It was out of character for Mitch to me. Not for lack of effort. Effort was there. Like, it seemed like he couldn't stop Bam at certain times. Like, Bam was a little too much for him.
But I'm a hold off on Mitch, though, because I feel like Mitch is good on my side. He did have his issues.
I'm not scolding him or nothing like that. I'm just keeping it real, you know. Like,
the
effort was there, you know. He was trying on defense, and he had a few highlights as well. He had a highlight block or two in the series, so, you know, it's not like he wasn't trying, but he could have been more impactful, you know what I mean? He didn't get as many rebounds as he did against them in the regular season. He wasn't as effective, you know what I mean? He wasn't the presence. He wasn't he was a presence. Not to say he didn't have a presence at all, but he wasn't as effective as he was against them before. So I guess Spoelstra, whatever he did was real effective. I guess Bam getting his buckets kind of took him out of sync.
Well, Bam, I feel like Bam can make anybody uncomfortable because Bam's a very versatile player. You know, he gets the ball on top of the key and goes into triple threat mode. And, you know,
he's another one that's underrated too. Like, not a lot of people talk about him as one of the best big men.
He's good. He's good.
He's good.
I'm not really familiar with his numbers, so I can't really agree.
Nah, like he's a double double guy. Like, oh, pretty close. I would say he's double. Man, like, off the top of my head, I don't even check real quick. Go ahead.
So these are the players that I feel like need the most scolding. Like
here we go.
Like, slap on the wrist. Like, no. Okay, so I think it's only right to put this man at the top because. He is one of the big three. Okay, I think it's, you know, you gotta, he's the leader, right? The ship sinks, you sink with it, you know. So first person on my list is Julius Randle.
Yeah, man, we gotta let you have it, Julius, and not in a hateful way, man. I'm not gonna throw the venom that a lot of Knicks fans are throwing at you, because I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt because of the fact that you came in possibly not ready to play. Because keep in mind, everybody, he did have an ankle injury, and we weren't even sure if he was going to play the first game against Cleveland until the day of the game. It's quite possible he wasn't 100%. Not making the excuse. I'm not making that as an excuse. I'm just saying that might have had something to do with his numbers. But at the same time, there were moments in this series where you checked out.
So his
obvious. And it was obvious, bro. Not for the whole game, because there was people saying that you checked out for the whole game. I disagree with that. There was just moments in the game where you was lax.
And they happened to be very important.
Like a days ago. You wasn't even paying attention. You know what I mean?
But they happen to be very important moments. Like, they were,
yeah, exactly. You did it at some of the most crucial times, bro. And you one of our best players, bro. That wasn't a good look.
So here is Julius Randle's average for his last five games. He averaged 18 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Usually that's pretty much his average, give or take. Maybe not the 18 points. 18 points is definitely not his average. That's definitely below average.
10 and the 4, like that's him.
Yes, 18 points. He's about 9 points under average, which is kind of a lot. Because if you think about it, the games we lost by 4 or 8. You know what I mean? We lost by very close, you know. Here's his biggest L, though.
Oh, boy. I already know.
He averaged 4 turnovers. Shot 41% from the field. And 28% from 3.
He picked it up. He picked up his overall field goal percentage. Because originally it was like at 30-something.
Still, 40 is
bad. No, I'm not. Again.
For what he is and what...
I'm giving credit where it's due.
Okay,
remember,
okay.
At one point, it was bad.
Yeah.
His field goal percentage was in the low 30s. I'm going to pick it up to 41. If it was really 41%, cool. I give you credit for that. But the threes? You were shooting too many threes, bro. The shot selection was so poor. But it wasn't just him.
Oh, no. I'm glad.
The shot selection goes.
I'm glad you said that. Another one who I might actually get.
You know who I'm mad at the most, and I'm hoping he's number two. I'm gonna wait to see.
My number two is going to be Mr. Emmanuel Quickly.
Yep. I'm mad at him the most, bro. Again, not from a hateful place.
What's your reason?
Bro, like, I don't know.
I think it's obvious, but
I don't know what it was. Maybe he wasn't ready for the, maybe he had the playoff jitters. But he just, he had one game where he hit a crucial 10 points. It was against the Cavs. I believe it was the game before we clinched.
Mm-hmm.
That game before that, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. It was either the game we clinched or the one before it. He had a crucial 10 points in one of them games. So, you know, he had his moment. But overall, I expected more, bro. I actually predicted you would be a breakout star this playoff.
Do you want to hear his average, Stevie, for his last three games? Because he was injured and didn't play the last two. So do you want to hear this?
Lay it on me, bro. You're going to get me more upset, but lay it on me.
9 points, 1 rebound, and damn near no assists.
As I said, bro,
0.7.
Bro, I predicted you to be the breakout star of the postseason. You let me down quickly.
And you ready? You ready for his field goal percentage?
Nah, but go ahead.
36%
overall.
Overall,
I don't even want to know the 3-point percentage. But you go ahead too if you got it.
18.
Oh my god, I should have asked. Woo. Whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
And here's the craziest thing about Quickly, though. The thing that I noticed the most was his erratic shot select. It was almost like he was panicking.
It was like it was contagious, bro. Everybody all of a sudden had bad shot selection. Like, what happened?
Whoa, can you blame that on Randall?
No, him and Quickly, both of them. But Randall just... The difference between him and Quickly, like you said, it seemed like Quickly was panicking. Randall was just firing away, I guess because I'm the number one, so I'm just firing away, whatever.
He was bugging out, yeah, he was bugging out. But Quickly, yeah, Quickly seemed very uncomfortable and very...
Yeah, like, I don't think he was ready.
Like a deer in the headlights kind of thing.
Maybe he thought he was mentally ready, but he really wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, at least that's what it seemed like.
This is his, what, second playoff series, right?
That's the funny thing. The first, if I'm not mistaken, the first one he didn't do too bad, if I remember correctly.
He didn't do bad, but he probably did like the same. His field goal percentage was definitely better though. But dude, when you're voted second place for sixth man of the year, this is not
what robbed.
Did he?
All right.
You know what I mean?
You
know what
I mean? After this performance, fine. He didn't get robbed. Okay. You know what I mean? Congratulations, Malcolm Brogdon, officially.
Because at least Malcolm Brogdon is still in the playoffs.
And he's doing good, by the way. Big shout out to him. You gotta give him credit. You gotta give credit where it's due.
You know what I mean? I don't mean to throw shots at quickly, but bro, nah,
bro, we speak facts here. It's what we do.
You proved everybody. You proved everybody right. You proved everybody that you didn't deserve that sixth man of the year. You know what I mean?
Actually, he didn't do too good against the Hawks either. He had one good game too, and it was a 10-point game. Bro, that's odd. That's funny.
Man, we got a choker on our hands, bro. Listen, I don't know, bro.
I hope not. Actually, wait, bro, I'm tripping. He dropped 19 against Cleveland in game 5. So he had a moment. Okay. He had two or three games, but still, bro, it wasn't enough. I expected more from Quickly.
Bro, especially from what he was putting up in the regular season, bro.
I was mistaken about you not showing up at all. You did have two or three games, but still, Quickly, you could have helped, bro. Like, you know what I mean? We'll see. You know what I mean? I think he bounces back next year and gets that sixth man of the year. That's my first prediction for next year. I'm throwing it out there now.
He better pray, because I have no problem maybe trading him. But that's another story for another episode. But
first prediction for next year: Quickly stays, wins sixth man of the year next year.
My last freaking complaint. My last pain in my ass.
Oh, I hope it's who I think it is. Please tell me.
Quentin.
Yes.
Freaking God. Grimes. Bro, Quentin freaking Grimes, bro.
All I gotta say is, bro, 5 points on 30% shooting for the whole postseason.
And he airballed the last shot.
Bro, I'm sorry.
What a way to go out, Quentin Grimes.
I could appreciate the defense, bro. I'll never hate on that. The defense is awesome, but at the same time, bro, that's inexcusable, bro. I need at least 10 points from you, bro.
You're supposed to be the flamethrower. You're supposed to be the shooting guy, okay? 6 points is outrageous. How do you average 6 points in 5 games?
You average 5 for the whole playoff.
What?
5.
That's including the Cavs? Like,
yes. 30%, my guy. Let me look it up again just to be sure. I just want to make sure I'm not tripping.
I'm tripping. Oh, my God.
Maybe I'm tripping. I don't know. Maybe
Quentin Grimes.
Maybe I'm wrong. Let's see.
Quentin Grimes, what are you doing? But listen, before anybody gets on our ass about anything, Stevie just said it. We appreciate his defense. We love his defense. But for the, like Bill Russell said, it's a game of buckets. Get buckets. Yeah. And we needed buckets. And he airballed. He airballed the last shot of the game. What a way to go out. It didn't even hit anything. Deadass missed everything. Like,
no, I was right. 5 points, 2.8 rebounds, 1.4 assists. Oh, Lord. Let me see if I got the field goal percentage. Yep. 30.4% field goals, 24.3% threes. Come on,
Grimes. Here's a crazy part, though. Hold on. Wait. Because you know my plus minus is my favorite stat. As bad as he did, he was a plus.
Positive. Because of the defense. Like, his defense is pretty good. I can't, like, again, nobody is hating on the defense, bro. Keep that up.
It's for your confidence, dude. We can tell you're not confident in yourself, man.
I need, bro. You know what it is? He has to attack the basket as soon as he gets the ball.
It's his confidence.
He's another one that shouldn't think like Julius Randle. I'm not saying because I say it's for two different reasons. I say Julius Randle shouldn't think when he gets the ball because he's not that intelligent. He's not that intelligent of a player. That's not a diss to him. It's just the truth. You know what I mean? He doesn't make good decisions with the basketball at times. So I'd rather him attack. Quentin Grimes, on the other hand, I want him to attack as soon as he gets the ball because he has the ability to, just lacks the confidence. He's fast. I don't know if you've seen, dude. Like, he got a quick first step.
They said something about that on ESPN once. He has, like, the quickest first step in the NBA. Or at least one of the quickest first steps in the NBA.
Because the way I see it, if he gets the ball and thinks, you're either going to take a bad shot or you're not going to know what to do and you're going to make a bad decision or you're just going to pass the ball and pass up a good shot.
But here's the thing about Quentin Grimes. He's such a good shooter. He kind of reminds me of Klay. He reminds me of a faster Klay Thompson.
No, I can see that. I can see that comparison. We said that. We've spoken on that before.
He's a faster Klay Thompson. So his problem is not the shot selection. His problem is shooting, period. He needs to let the ball go. He needs to shoot.
You know what it is, too? Because we got two ISO players. So when he gets the ball, his first instinct is to give it up to one of them. That's why I say, oh, that's another reason. As soon as you get the ball, attack. I'd rather you dish the ball after you attack, like if you don't have a shot, than to they dish the ball as soon as you get it. You know what I mean? If you attack, you can open things up a little some. And he has the ability to attack.
And he has that nice wraparound pass he likes to give to Mitch. You know what I mean? When he goes baseline and wraps around to Mitch, Mitch gets the dunk.
Actually, him and Ihart had a thing going a few times during the season.
Well, okay, I'm glad you brought up Ihart, because let's get a little positive. The same way we have three negatives, I also have three positive players.
So we might as well start with Ihart.
No.
You don't want to start with Ihart?
No, I do not want to start with Ihart.
Who wants to start with?
RJ Barrett.
He disappointed me that last game. No,
listen, bro. I will completely... Listen, coming from me, I will. I do understand, Stevie. I get it. But I'm looking to look way past that last game.
I'm sorry, bro. No. I'm not going to give him an F for the whole playoffs because of that game. Because
I'll tell you, we were in...
But the A I was going to give him goes to a B because of that.
That's fine. But I'm also going to...
Which is still a positive performance, though.
No, that's fine. I'm going to drop this on you and the entire Knicks Anonymous family. The reason why we were in most of these games was because of him.
That's a fact. I won't disagree with that.
Period.
Except
against, you know, when it mattered. You know, like I said, I'm looking.
I'm not going to say it no more. I threw it out there. Let's just stick to the positive.
Okay, let's.
I got it out there. Let's stick to the positive.
Listen.
I aim it to a B. Let it be known.
No.
He did good. I can't lie. Like, he did good. I don't want to hate. I'm not hating. I'm just speaking my mind about it. Because I expected more from him that game. But overall, bro, like, he.
RJ Barrett.
We might have underpaid him, dude. Just saying.
He averaged 20 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Shot 40%, 41% from the field, which could have been better. And 40% from 3, which is amazing for RJ Barrett.
I'll give him kudos for that. So B+. I'll give him B+. I didn't know the 3-point percentage was that high. So I'll give him B+.
Amazing. And... his three-point shooting actually poked holes in Spoelstra's plan.
It did.
Because that's how you beat a zone. And RJ was able to hit the shots that they were giving. They were basically daring him to shoot. He was like, okay, I got this. I'm in it to win it. You know what I mean? I'm the Maple Mamba. You must not have known. And because of that, they were kind of forced to spread out the defense a little bit. And by spreading out the defense, you give Jalen Brunson and all these guys, and even himself, space to operate in the paint. So, and Ihart, which we're going to get into. Ihart kind of excelled from that, because now you open up everybody else's game. So, RJ, listen.
I hope he keeps up that three-point percentage next year, bro.
I heard they tweaked his jump shot. I heard that he used to shoot from the side, and they moved it to the middle now. Like, he used to release from the side. So now he shoots from, like, center.
So it's awesome. Why don't you just do this?
Yeah. That's exactly what happened, pretty much. And it seems to be working. I mean, for you to hit shots in the playoffs, especially down in crunch times, by all means. RJ, if you can keep that up, bro, I don't care what you do in the regular season. As long as you bring this to the postseason, I don't care. I don't care what you do. You could sit out the entire regular season. I don't care.
Yeah. Listen, a lot of the fan base was mad at him. Not a lot of people mad at him no more. I mean, I'm kind of mad at him about the last game, but I'm not, like, mad. Like, I hope he keeps up that three-point performance.
And I'd have to own up and say I'm one of them, because I gave RJ shit for this entire season. I was on RJ's ass this whole season, and he shut me up and a lot of other people up. And that's why he's number 1 on my list, because I owe him an apology. Now, number 2 on my list is Isaiah Hartenstein. Isaiah Hartenstein was not, I'm not going to say not that good, But, like, he was kind of slow in the regular season. Like, he was kind of, like, finding his way, you know. But when it came playoffs, he was
ready. He knows his role.
He was ready.
Iheart knows his role, bro. That's what's great about him. Like, at first, because that's what happened at first. He had a different role on the Clippers. So, on the Knicks, he had to adjust. And he started adjusting towards the end of the season when Mitch went down and he had to start. And glad he did. Because he had a pretty decent playoff, man. He had a few big offensive rebounds, big hustle plays. You know what I mean? Like, and you,
boom,
and that's
right
what
wins
games in the postseason.
Right
that's
there. Right where you just said, the hustle plays. That was the most important. Because Isaiah didn't score really much. He scored 2 points. He averaged 2 points. You know, he didn't really do much on the offensive side of things in terms of scoring. But his energy and hustle kept a lot of plays alive for us, a lot of second chance opportunities, a lot of diving hustle plays. He's down on the ground with Jimmy Butler wrestling with the dude. When Cody Zeller got into Randall's face, who was the first one to be there? Isaiah Hartenstein, chest to chest, like, what's good, my guy? You know what I mean?
I was loving that.
And that's what you want on your team, bunch of dogs. And Isaiah Hartenstein, as much hate as he got throughout the season, he became a dog and pretty much changed and adapted his game to what we needed.
Yeah, I think he earned, as I said before, he earned a roster spot with us next season as far as I'm concerned.
I would also agree. And my number three is Josh Hart. Now, he didn't put up...
Kind of disappeared the last two games.
Yes.
When I say disappeared, because the last game he did decent, but the couple games before that he didn't play too well.
No. Josh Hart is on this list again for what Isaiah Hartenstein's on this list for. Is hustle.
Okay, yeah. If that's the case, yeah, I could dig that because the effort didn't go away. So I could give credit for that.
Because I feel like that was the most important thing in this series was the hustle and the grind. Because remember, there was one point where Randall said when they lost, like, oh, maybe they just wanted it more, you know. And that's really what the series came down to, is who really wanted it more, who was really getting down and dirty.
Hart definitely hit some big shots against the Cavs and got some big offensive rebounds against them too. He stuck out more against the Cavs than he did against the Heat, I'll say that.
Yes. And I have two honorable mentions. First honorable mention, Jalen Brunson. He is an honorable mention because he did show up when needed, but for the most part, he was not Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, he was a little inconsistent. He was a little shaky. He got his stats, don't get it twisted, and especially the last two games, bro, he showed he's big time. If anybody thought he wasn't big time and you're not convinced after the last two games, then, you know, whatever, nothing will convince you. Whatever.
But
Jalen Brunson is big time.
Dude, bro, all he had to do was shoot the ball, bro. Why did he pass it? Bro, Willis Reed came down and literally gave us the game. Bro, there was an offensive foul given to them with 30 seconds left on the clock, or not even. I think it was less because there was no shot clock. Jalen Brunson gets to his spot, and what does he do, Stevie? He passes the ball to Randle in a triple team. What the fuck?
Gave it to Randle at the worst possible position, bro. Why did you do that? But yeah, he
just shoot the ball.
He was inconsistent, bro. It's not, as I said, you showed you big time the last two games, which is what a lot of people gonna be talking about that when postseason's over too.
What, that one play?
The two Brunson games.
Listen, overall,
he was big time, bro. Everybody saw it. But
yes,
as you said, he's honorable mention because he was a little shaky.
Yes, and because he's pretty much the reason why we lost the last game. Unfortunately, we were there because we were winning. He was the reason why we were gonna win, and he is the reason why we lost, all in one thing. Because I get it, there's a lot of factors, there's a lot of things within the game that could have changed certain outcomes, like maybe missed free throws. But dude, the game was in your hands, bro. 30 or less seconds left. You clawed us all the way back. You clawed us all the way back to do that. To go in the paint and pass it to an unopened Randle and turn it over. That's how you want to go out, bro. That pissed me off so much, bro. He did so well to just give it away, bro. He gave it away. So that is why he's my honorable mention. I have beef with Jalen Brunson. But if you want to get into the numbers, he averaged 32 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Fucking exquisite. 51%. Yeah, 51% from the field and 41% from 3.
How do you put them last two games? Brought him up. He was big time. He was big time, bro.
But that's why he's on honorable mention. Second honorable mention is the big man himself, Mitchell Robinson.
That is why he's on the honorable mention. Yeah, he was big against the. He's another one who stuck out against the Cavs. Like, I'm actually surprised he outplayed Jared Allen the way he did. I was surprised at that. I thought him and Jared Allen would be a good matchup. And he violated. He pretty much deemed him ineffective. You know what I mean? And same thing with Mobley. Mobley's on defense, as I said. And ineffective.
Like completely zeroed out. Like, and that's due to
Julius. Zeroed out. Again, they made plays, but for the most part, yeah, ineffective.
I think we were just the more physical team. I think that's what Miami beat us at. I think Miami beat us at our own game pretty much, at the physicality and the toughness. Because you remember that video your brother sent with all the dirty stuff that they do and all the dirty fouls? They beat us at our own game pretty much.
Yeah, the refs screwed us over that series too, bro. I'm sorry. I'm not going to make that as an excuse. Heat won. Congratulations. You know what I mean? But still, the refs screwed us over that series.
That I can also agree to that. I think the reffing was definitely a little.
Reffing was pretty crappy, bro.
Well, not little. It was definitely crappy. But then again, dude, you can't. There's no excuses, man.
Nah, yeah, we lost. That's it. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna.
I think overall we just got outplayed.
I'm not gonna be that guy.
We got outshot.
But the fact of the matter is, the reffing was crappy, and a lot of people will agree with that.
Yes, and I would also agree with that. But overall, at the end of the day, what really happened is we didn't have any shooters, or we do have shooters, but none of them answered the call. Tom Thibodeau did not make the proper adjustments because we have a sharpshooter on the bench in Evan Fournier, and we never saw him.
We didn't give Derrick Rose any minutes. We could have used that offense and playoff experience, former MVP. Hello.
Yes. So, you know, overall, I think this was this is kind of a good loss because it's a team loss. It wasn't just one specific person. Everybody is at fault. You know what I mean? So. I don't know how to take that because you're glass half full kind of guy. I'm kind of in between. I'm kind of a realist. So
your glass is empty, but it's a little bit of water in it.
Yeah, I want to fill. Like I want to fill it up. Like you know, like you know what? No. I have holes at the bottom of the cup, so when I go to fill it up, it spills out. So
okay, I guess
you know what I mean. I'm pouring the positivity in, but then reality is just like no. You know what I mean? So
well, my glass half full is not me being realistic. Actually, it is me being realistic. It is me being realistic. But at the same time, you know, it's not like I'm not pointing out our flaws. Our flaws are there. I just think a lot of our fans overreacted. That's all. You know what I mean? Bro, yes. Like, our fans want to, like, pretty much crucify Julius Randle, if you want to be technical with it.
Yes, and this is a great this is a great transition.
That's actually an understatement.
Yes, this is a great transition because, right, so they had what it seemed like is they had a watch party at the Garden for people to, you know, if you bought tickets, you could watch the playoff game at the Garden, which I didn't know about, which I definitely would have went, but.
That's what I'm saying. I was going to wear that myself.
Yeah, I did not know. So now I know. Next time. Because there definitely will be a next time. I want Europe to know that. There definitely will be a next time.
I'm taking money for playoff tickets next year.
That's a fact. And so our fan base being our fan base, after the loss, there was a poster outside of the Garden of Julius Randle. Some asshole had a white marker and put trade me on the board, and then they continued to, or they went and tore the poster down, which is not only illegal because like that's like what's the word
Public property?
Yeah, destroying public property. So anyway, which is super illegal. So you guys are dumb for that. You guys broke a law on camera, which, you know, besides me. Anyway, they threw the poster on the ground and stomped it out pretty much. And we're just like stepping all over it. It was retarded. It was the dumb. Listen, and you want to wonder why no one wants to come here. Why would somebody want to go through that? Stevie, would you want to go through that? If you put your heart and soul into a city, would you want to go through that?
Look, bro, we're all mad at Julius Randle for his performance, including us.
That's OD, bro. That's like some, like...
We're not going that far, bro. Like, I don't even want to trade him. Like, anybody wants to trade him. I don't even want to trade him personally, depending.
See, here's the biggest...
happens down the road. But for now, I don't want to trade Julius Randle the way everybody else does. But that's OD, I agree. That was a little too much.
Here's the thing with Julius Randle that people don't get because of their emotions, or at least the smart Knicks fans. Because someone did post that video, and the caption was something about, like...
Yeah, he wasn't with it. The video, yeah. a lot of people who post... The good thing about that, seeing that video, is a lot of people that posted it didn't like it. Even dudes that want Julius Randle traded. Because there was a lot of dudes that were saying, yeah, I want Julius Randle traded, but this is a little too much. Y'all wildin'.
Yeah, they little... Because you got to remember, overall, this is a W season.
Yeah,
this is a win of a season. And for you to go and do that, you look like a bunch of ungrateful children. You know what I mean? You look like some child. Like, you guys look stupid overall. You guys look dumb. You all should have been arrested for being stupid, honestly. But so... The biggest problem with Julius Randle, or not the problem with Julius Randle, but the thing that people don't, the emotional Knicks fans don't understand, is that there's not a lot of power forwards doing what Randle is doing. So yeah, trade him, but for who, my friend? Who do you want? Who do you want?
So yeah, bro, all right, here's the names, a lot of the popular names I'm hearing the Knicks, I don't know if it's to trade Randle for... But these are a lot of the names that they throw it out there that they want us to go after. They want us to go after Karl Anthony. From what I'm seeing, the Knicks fans that's mad at Randle, they want to go after Karl Anthony Towns. They want to go after Dame Lillard. They want to go after Joel Embiid. I don't even know if he's going to be available. And who's the other one? There was another name. I forgot. Jaylen Brown.
So, the Karl Anthony Towns were no surprise to, because last year, I believe, we actually said that we should probably try to acquire him, or is it two seasons ago?
But here's my thing, bro. Like, last year, I would have been with it. Not so much now.
How so? Why?
Because he a dude that don't show up for the playoffs, too. So, we would trade one dude who doesn't show up for the playoffs for another dude who don't show up for the playoffs. That don't make no sense.
And we probably have to give up more than what we receive, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. It won't just take Randle. I mean, who knows? I would have to look at that. We go, oh, that means I'm messing with the trade machine this week.
Ooh, we starting the malarkey early, Knicks Anonymous family. We starting the trade rumors early, because at this point, from here on out, it's all you're going to hear, to be honest. It's straight... Trade malarkey, blasphemy, and yeah.
But Towns, I'm good. I'd rather stick with... I'm not saying Julius Randle is better than Towns, because Towns is a smaller player than Randle, and for his career, has better numbers than Randle. But at this moment, at this point in their career, I'd much rather have Randle.
I agree. I do agree. Listen, Randle may have his flaws. That's fine. We already knew he wasn't a second or first option. He's the third option. But okay, so I'm gonna be honest though. I'm gonna be completely honest. I don't want to give up Randle, but at the same time, I do want this team to become RJ Barrett's team. And that won't happen until one of the two ball hogs go. And those two
would logically have to be one of them, unfortunately.
The two ball hogs are Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle.
And we all know Jalen Brunson ain't going nowhere.
Exactly. I would 100% keep Jalen Brunson. And it's no bad blood between Randle. It's not because of his play. It's just because I would much rather have RJ be, like, looked at more. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to be the guy in order to operate. You know, with Randle on the floor, you force him to become a rhythm player, which is hard. And I feel like Randle does that for everybody on the court. I feel like everybody becomes a rhythm player. There would be times where, because like you can't really blame these guys for missing some. Like, yeah, always stay ready, but everybody knows basketball is a game of rhythm. With Julius Randle on the floor, if your name is not Julius Randle or Jalen Brunson, it's gonna be very hard for you to find the rhythm, because you're gonna get the ball once every maybe four possessions, which is crazy. You'll get it, but you won't do anything with it. You'll just give it right back, because they have that stupid motion offense where they pass the ball back to each other. Like, they give the ball to one guy and they give it back to him. Like, what is that about?
So it's between Julius Randle and RJ Barrett, or both, perhaps in a package for whatever. Jesus. But that all depends on who might be available, because the names I just said are just speculation. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Dame Lillard's going to be available. We don't know if Embiid's going to be available. I don't think Jaylen Brown's going to be available either. Like, I don't. Here's the thing, though. He's not going to be available yet. But the problem with the Celtics is you eventually going to have to pay both of them. And I don't know if they could.
They might just clean house just to do it. I mean, I would.
They just might. You never know. Danny Ainge is a snake. You never know what he's going to pull off.
That's a fact. But that's definitely a conversation for another episode.
But there's another interesting name that came up, though. And I'm not saying I want him. His name is interesting, though. Bradley Beal.
We do need shooting.
You know what's cool about Bradley Beal, too? He's a real good passer. He's actually an underrated passer. Nobody talks about his passing like that.
And he's not the best on defense, but he will give you effort. So,
Interesting name.
Let's see how far that name goes. Let's see how far that name travels through the Knickverse. The Knick universe. The multiverse of madness.
The only thing I don't like about Beal is his age. He's still in his prime. Don't get it twisted. Like, we get hypothetically speaking, if we get Bradley Beal, we're getting like top dog, top notch Bradley Beal, and him and Brunson would be a pretty dangerous backcourt, hypothetically speaking. But you know, how long will we have it for? You know what I mean? Is the question.
Yeah, like if we get Beal,
hypothetically speaking.
Yeah, because if we get Beal, we're definitely making a run for the finals, because we don't have a lot of time. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But listen, We all know how this goes, Knicks Anonymous fam. We all know what's about to happen. Just buckle your seatbelts and try to stay off Twitter for as long as you can, because there's gonna be a lot of assumptions, a lot of rumors, a lot of weird things, and it's gonna be a lot of hate. Honestly, it's gonna be a lot of malice. And we all know it's going to be towards.
Unfortunately, I don't like that our fan base is like that, bro. That whole loving you while you up and kicking you while you down isn't cool, in my opinion.
You got to have some type of consistency. And that's what I learned doing this podcasting thing, especially for the Knicks. You got to.
Yeah, y'all. At one point, y'all was chanting MVP at Julius Randle. Never forget.
Never.
MVP. MVP. That was y'all. It was us.
That was you. Us. All of us. Because we are one. And listen, yes, he had a bad series. Yes, I'm saying he didn't. But at the same time, just because he had a bad... Did Michael Jordan win the championship his first year? No. Now, I'm not saying Julius Randle's not... Before everyone fucking comes at me, like, oh, whoa, you comparing him? No. It's the principle. Listen, yes. Jordan did not win his first year. Rome was not built in one day, okay? You get the point. You get my draft.
And another thing, y'all. Check it out. 3 years of this regime. It's progress, bro. But it was a weird kind of progress, though. Because in the first year, we made the playoffs. The second year, we didn't make the playoffs. And then the third year, we made the playoffs and went further. If you reverse it, let's say we didn't make the playoffs the first year, and then the next year we made the playoffs and lost to the Hawks in the first round, and then this year we lose in the second round. This is progress, y'all.
It's still progress. We're two for three.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is still progress. It just happened out of order because of last year.
Yeah.
This is progress, y'all. Why y'all tripping?
Especially
this is what we wanted.
Especially with the acquirement of Josh Hart.
Oh yeah, that was a steal, bro. I wasn't expecting, bro. I knew that was a good deal, but I wasn't expecting that to be that much of a steal. And I hope, let me not say I hope we keep it. I know we're keeping him. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and you know what's the best part about him is he probably will take less money.
I'd pay him. Give him his market value. I'll give him his market value.
But who knows? You know how that is, Steve. You know how business goes. Sometimes, you know.
No, they said from what I heard, the market value is around like supposedly the deals that the Knicks are going to offer him is like 4 years, 68 mil.
Well, that's not bad.
I don't know if that's the truth. That's just something I read.
That's amazing. That's great for us, at least.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal. And he gets a raise, too. So that's bread. He gets his bread. You know what I mean? It's a team-friendly deal. Everybody wins.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good signing for sure.
But again, you know, don't quote me on that. It's just something I read.
Look, like I said, or like we said, the number one target for this offseason is a consistent shooter. Now,
I gotta look at this. Who's available? I guess we'll discuss that in episode 101.
You read my mind, Stevie. We will do our homework and see who is on the board, or we inevitably just run it back. Who knows? Who knows what we might do? We may run it back. We may make trades. I genuinely think there will be trades. I don't think we're running back.
I don't think there'll be major trades. I think there'll be a trade, but not a major trade. If a major trade happens, it'll be at the deadline.
It's gonna be another Josh Hart trade.
That's what I'm saying. It'll be at the deadline. Like, a trade that'll probably happen this offseason will probably be some cap to clear some cap.
Yeah, like Evan Fournier, Derrick Rose, everybody who's just taking up space is gonna be.
I mean, we might lose a youngin too. Don't sleep.
No, absolutely, and I think it might be Grimes. Not gonna lie.
I don't know who it's gonna be, but don't be prepared to lose a youngin. We might not want to lose, but you know who it's not gonna be? Deuce.
It's not gonna be Deuce. I don't think it's gonna be Deuce.
I think we're picking up his option.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be Deuce. I think Deuce is locked in. His defense is too good. And his offense is kind of getting, it's slowly progressing. He's starting to feel a little bit more confident out there.
I think he needs a training camp and a little go ham in the summer league, a little something. And he'll be all right.
Maybe even some G League games. Fuck it. Who knows? I think he's way past G League, bro. I think he needs to play.
Agreed. Free Deuce.
Listen, that concludes episode 100, man. Oh my god,
the hundo. I'm still the hyped hundo. About that, bro. I haven't had a beer god. In a while, bro. That beer got me kind of nice.
That shot. I'm feeling the shot. I'm definitely feeling the shot. Yeah.
It's gonna be. Froze out for a second there, buddy.
No. I was texting. But yeah, no, my head, yeah. No, it's going to be a very fun editing session. Should I take another one, Stevie, for the people?
Nah, bro, we need to edit the video.
What y'all say?
We need to edit the video.
Let me know down in the comments. You want another shot? But yeah, shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family. Stevie, we are the people's voice.
And for the 100th time, we are, 103rd time, because we say it at the end of the episodes. You know what? Screw it. My math is way off. The point is, we nothing without you, the people.
You already know how we do, man. Peace.